You may be seated.
It is my privilege and honor to be here singing this song. My Aunt Lois had a great testimony of bravery and courage, and I can just picture her in heaven saying, "Here I am, I'm here to worship." I just invite you to sing along if you know the words, and we just lift our voices in this celebration time.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you, Jeff, for leading us in that worship. On behalf of Lois's family, I would like to thank you for coming today. The family has told me over and over again how overwhelmed they are at the outpouring of love and support that they've felt over the last few months and especially the last few days. This is a time for rejoicing. For Lois, let there be song and singing. Let there be even dance and dancing. Let there be joy and much rejoicing, for her long season of suffering is over. Her dearest wish is that we would rejoice, even as she is now rejoicing. This is a time for worship. We want to worship the God who created Lois and kept her faithful and steadfast in hope. And we will be able to do that as a family has selected some beautiful worship songs that we can join together in singing. This is also a time of celebration and thanksgiving as we remember a life that has touched us all. And this is a time to mourn and grieve deeply as we try to imagine a future without her life among us and take stock of this loss. Let us take comfort in and rest our hope in the powerful confession found in 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Let us pray. Lord our God, you are great, eternal, and completely trustworthy. You give life to us all. You gave life to Lois, and we thank you for her life and having been able to share some of our journey with her. Thank you that she is now enjoying a new life with you. And thank you for the comfort of that assurance. Now set our hearts at peace so that we can commit this hour to thanks and praise to you. Amen.
Please take your bulletin insert and join me in singing "When Peace Like a River."
When peace like a river attends at my way, when sorrows of sea will flow, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me.
Lois's father's favorite psalm was Psalm 91, and a psalm that Lois really appreciated and loved. And to read that psalm for us today are her daughters-in-law, Trish and Rhonda.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snail and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not feel the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe your eyes with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked.
If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Please take your hymnals now, and if you can, mark the next three songs, 431, 179, and 548, as printed in your bulletin. 431, 179, and 548.
Stand with us, please.
the number of tributes this afternoon is testimony to the number of people that were loved by Lois and who loved her. And to begin the tributes today is Ellie Kelchman, a friend from work, and the others will follow as per the bulletin.
Hi, good afternoon. The following is a tribute from Art Randall, who is in Florida and could not be with us today. As was written in the Toronto Star, Lois Burkholder will live on in the hearts of the people she loved. Lois was held in very high esteem by community, staff, and students in each of her school environments. During our association, I found Lois to be very knowledgeable, friendly, and helpful. She was always there for her colleagues and students. Lois can be characterized in the following ways: very special, confident, outstanding work ethics, always ready to listen, a fine person and friend, a strong commitment for success, and always at the center of each school. Everyone enjoyed her sincere approach, A-plus professional manner, and honesty. This diligent and generous person was very proud of her family. Our thoughts and prayers are with them as they go through this difficult time. Our wonderful friend will be greatly missed. We will always treasure the magical moments Lois shared with us, Art Randall. I'm honored to have been asked to pay tribute to my dear friend Lois. Our friendship started the summer before Lois came to work at Central. She stopped in at the office to see where she would be working in September. We said, "Hello, nice to meet you. See you in September." About 2 weeks later, I was at the cottage, and my dog Fergus heard the slap of a volleyball, and off she ran. 3 cottages away, I caught up with her, and a lady was coming out of her cottage with a pot of tea. She looked at me and said, "I think I know you. I'm going to work with you. Would you like a cup of tea?" And over that cup of tea, our friendship began. It seems to me that I knew Lois forever. We had a very easy friendship. I loved her, but she was easy to love, gentle and kind and caring. Lois's cup was always full. When I asked people what they remember about Lois, everyone said, "Oh, you have to say she never had a bad hair day. She was always dressed perfectly, always had a beautiful smile, and you must say, most importantly, her family meant everything to her." Recently, Howie and I were admiring Lois's hands and how those fingers could fly. Everyone at Central wished they had her typing skills. She also knew her way around a computer. She was our personal IT lady. We lunched often when Lois worked at Central, and after she retired, we would call each other and meet at our favorite fast food place to catch up. Lois had an amazing garden. I was in awe of her ability to grow such beautiful plants and flowers. She spent many an hour trying to teach me which were weeds and which were plants. But her advice was, "Not to worry, you can always grow it next year." In the past few years, my flower of choice for Lois was purple tulips. I will never see a purple tulip again without hearing Lois say, "Purple tulips, our favorite. Aren't they spectacular?" A couple of weeks ago, Lois phoned me. In the course of the conversation, I told her she was my hero. Lois said, "And you are mine." I hope I made her proud today. I'd like to share with you a poem that Lois gave me for my birthday a few years ago. It's called "A New Day Dawning." May happiness arise with you to meet the dawn. May every hour be filled with joy and love. May peace come calling at your door when day is done, and each tomorrow bring blessings from above. Lois, you will live forever in my heart. Fly with the angels, my friend. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through that, but now that I did, I want to say something else. I have a dear friend that's here today just to support me. She didn't know Lois, but she wanted to be here to support me. And she gave me this book, Chicken Soup for the Girlfriend's Soul. And so we're going to start it on a journey, and it's going to be Lois's journey from one friend to the next. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to share a few memories of my dear friend Lois. I only knew of her in high school and then began seeing her with Howie at the Friday night ball games in Markham when the local church young men would gather to compete. Lois's beautiful smile and her countenance is probably my earliest recollection of her. Then I would occasionally see her at social and church functions. In 1976, Lois, Howie, and their three sons moved into our community at Preston Lake. It was through our young families that we would spend many summer afternoons at the beach together. I would keep count of the heads while the children played in the sand, but once they were in the water, Lois took over, as she was a swimmer and I wasn't. I remember looking after each other's children when needed, ladies' evening Bible studies with our neighbors, playing volleyball for a night out in the winter, egging a house together on Halloween. Sharing perennials from our gardens and shopping for our flowers, usually both of us overbought, and then we had to find space for all our plants. I remember our regular Markham Fair visits to check out the school exhibits, baking, crafts, quilts, antiques, and always a burger. Burgers were her favorite food at the fair, and sometimes a piece of pie, but not always. Backyard Bible school for the kids in the area. I remember the two of us being the neighborhood watch delegates. We did our best to be aware of what was happening on our streets. We once caught a burglar in action, and with each of us having a small child and a garden tool in hand, we watched, we reported, and shortly he was apprehended. I remember many bike rides and walks around our streets to share, to confide in, and to ask each other's advice or opinion. We solved many situations together, or at least we thought we did. The four of us taking many Caribbean holidays together. What a fun week that always was. I remember how thankful Lois was for all the kind, caring, and compassionate healthcare professionals she came to know. Lois sent many, many cards of encouragement to me, and I know to all of her friends. She would appear at your door at just the right time. She'd meet you for lunch. She'd take you to the mall. She loved to shop. Lois was a friend who said, "I have time," when others had to rush. Lois was a positive, uplifting person, never one to complain. Even after being diagnosed and going through difficult times, she would share her situation and then say, "But this too shall pass." I remember she listened not only with her ears, but her heart and her eyes, and she was aware of not repeating what she had heard, only to lift the situation up in prayer. I remember how she loved her family and kept me updated on each of them. Her grandchildren brought her much joy and happiness. But the one thing I will remember Lois most for was her faith and love for her Lord and Savior, and what a faithful prayer warrior she was. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Lois was showered with gifts of the Spirit and shared them so freely with anyone she met. I love my friend Lois and will miss her greatly. Friendship, memories, and love last forever, and I know I will see Lois again someday.
There's a lot I could tell you about Lois and our friendship, but I will focus on two things today: her love of gardening and her gift of encouragement. When Lois had radiation and her first round of chemo, I was privileged to take her to some of her treatments or doctor's appointments. Afterwards, we would tour Wheel and Cullen Nursery and look at all the plants. She came to my place one day to look at my pathetic garden, all seven plants of it. She tactfully suggested how lovely it would look with a few more perennials to fill in the gaps. She surprised me later by coming back with a trunk full of plants that she had dug out of her garden. We spent the next few hours planting them. From then on, I was hooked on perennials. Whenever I visited her, whether at Preston Lake or in town, we always did a walkabout of her gardens, examining each plant and flower in detail. You sports guys and your statistics have nothing on Lois. She could tell me how each plant performed last year and last week, and what plans she had for it next year, and where she'd trade its position to maximize its potential. Lois was a real lady. Maybe because she lived surrounded by men, she loved pretty things and feminine touches. She enjoyed making things pretty for her friends. One day, she invited me to lunch at Preston Lake. We walked out to her garden as usual. There, under the arbor covered with morning glories, and in the midst of exquisite hollyhocks and other colorful flowers, she had set a small patio table with china teacups and plates and pretty napkins. There were four chairs at the table, two for Lois and me, and two for our other guests who are already seated patiently waiting, two teddy bears. She had created the perfect teddy bears picnic, and I know she did this kind of thing for other people. Whenever I visited Lois, I always left encouraged and motivated to read a certain book or to start work on a quilt again. She always challenged me to take time to appreciate life. Before I started working full-time, I tried to visit her every other Tuesday. Occasionally, she would let me make tea for her, but most often, she was the perfect hostess, and she served me. One of us would supply the muffins. Although Lois talked about her illness and treatment, she didn't talk only about herself. She was always interested in what was going on in my life and my garden. Now, there are only four people in the world who call me Barbie. Howie and Lois are two of them. And I kind of like it. Once we had our tea and muffin, we'd sit at the table in her sunny kitchen looking out at her exquisite garden. Exquisite was her favorite word for her flowers. Then she'd say, "So, Barbie, tell me all about such and such." I am Howie and Lois's church elder. Sometimes at the end of my visit, I would pray for her. After I said amen, her voice would pick up the prayer and she would pray for me and my family. When she was first diagnosed with cancer, I wrote her a note and put it in her mailbox at church. I just commiserated with her and promised to pray. She wrote me a thank you for my note and put it in my mailbox. The next week, I wrote her a thank you for her thank you. And so it went on. I finally told her that I loved her notes, but she shouldn't feel obliged to keep writing. I didn't want to put a burden on her. She said she liked receiving my cards too, so we'd keep on for a while and we could quit whenever we wanted. Well, we have written notes every Sunday to each other for 9 years. Occasionally, we missed a week if one of us was out of town. And once in a while, I would forget to write, only to remember when I arrived at church. I would run down to the basement and frantically try to find something to write on. Once I used a paper towel. And I apologize to the kitchen staff once I used the coffee filter. We would write about our past week, our upcoming week, and we'd share prayer requests and blessings. We always concluded with scripture, and it always encouraged me to read the scripture she had chosen for that Sunday. Her last card was dated January 15th, and I'd like to close by reading the scripture that she chose that day. Proverbs 10:24. What the wicked dreads will overtake him, what the righteous desire will be granted. And Psalm 4:3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him.
Dear Lois, my sister, my friend, God's gift to me. Years have gone by since we were young. I don't remember a lot about you while you were still at home since I married when you were just 17. Threads of our lives were woven together, each of us, you and I, contributing to the other. Really, I am the one who was blessed to have you as my sister. Love for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was your priority. Optimism was how you chose to fight your battle. Inspiration was what you were to others and me. Sisterhood is a celebration of life, love, and family, and you celebrated all three. A wise sister helps you grow better, not bitter, when faced with disappointments. Lois, you had many disappointments in your struggle, but no one ever knew about them, as you were always filled with hope. Many times you put me to shame as I witnessed your strong faith. I am surely going to miss those frequent phone conversations and visits while we shared with each other. And as I told you last Wednesday, I am not going to say goodbye. Just, I'll see you soon. Love, Elva.
Lois was a generous individual always wanting to give rather than receive. On many different occasions, when my wife and I took her out for breakfast or lunch, she insisted on paying the bill, and I had to get a little firm with her. As you've already heard, she was an avid gardener, as evidenced by the beautiful flowers she planted and nursed continuously. Her backyard became her pride and joy. It not only attracted people, but birds and animals as well. Hummingbirds, finches, doves, blue jays, cardinals, raccoons, and squirrels. And she had a statue of a blue heron in the corner. Speaking of the blue heron, as I was sitting here in her kitchen in November of last year, I heard a loud noise outside. I figured it was a squirrel making a racket. But as I looked further, to my amazement, there was a real live blue heron, 3 feet tall, standing on her side fence. Its mouth was going a mile a minute, and I think it was saying, "What a wonderful garden." When I got Lois' attention, she was flabbergasted, as if to say, "I must be special. Not too many people have visitors like this." And I think it was safe to say that after I left, she was on the phone telling her friends. She was always concerned about others first and foremost. She had call display on her phone, and as I called her each and every day, she would know it was me. Her first words were, "Hi, Cliffy. How are you doing today?" And I would reply, "Fine. But the question is, how are you doing?" She never complained about her health problems. But as each one arose, she would reply, "But this too shall pass." Lois had a strong faith in God, which she shared with many friends, and her faith never wavered, even when her health was failing. I had the privilege of spending the last 16 months with Lois every day. I either phoned her or went for breakfast or lunch, and she was a true inspiration to me, and I hope I was to her too.
When I remember Lois, I think of sunshine. Lois always brought sunshine, brightness, and light into my life. I couldn't be in her presence very long without feeling a renewed lightness and positiveness coming from her, which would always end up affecting me. This is one of the many reasons I just loved being with her and being around her. She let the sun shine out of her, but not only that, she let the true sun, the Son of God, shined through her life. And this again affected me every time I came in contact with her. As it says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God." And now I know what that verse looks like in a life, in Lois' life. Specialness. Lois always had a way of making myself and my family feel special. But as I hear today, she made everyone feel special. By the example of her willingness to take the focus off of herself and instead focus on those around her, she again lived out for me what it says in Philippians 2:3-4, "Always consider others better than yourself. Look to the interest of others first." So again, she brought this verse from the Bible to life in before my eyes. One of the purposes we have here on earth as believers is to show the world through our lives what God looks like. And to me, Lois' life was a real live example of that. That's just a very small sample of what this precious, special sister means to me.
In my teenage years, I got to spend a lot of time with Howie and Lois. And I have many special memories of cottage life. Howie's baseball games, where Lois and I were his loudest cheerleaders, and spending many hours in their home. I remember when she bought her first car, a little white Vauxhall Viva. She had to shift gears with her right hand while being left-handed. At first, this was a real challenge, but a few grinding of gears later, and she was whipping around in that little car with ease. During her illness, she showed me a strength and endurance that was incredible and that I don't think I could ever match. For any kindness shown to her, she would have a thank you card to give back. Many of you here are recipients of those beautiful cards. Loi also believed that one day she would see the face of Jesus, her Savior. She drew strength from this, and her faith brought her through many of the dark valleys that she had to go through. But she has come out on the other side. She is now whole and in the presence of her Lord. Because there is a large gap in our ages, Loi and I were not always close. We loved each other and talked often, but still there was a distance that those years brought with it. As the youngest sibling, I did not have as much in common with Loi, but our love for one another never wavered. It was not until she got a job in the CEC Central office that she and I really developed and nurtured a close friendship. We now talked several times a day, as well as emailing each other very often. Having that common thread in our lives brought us closer together. I developed a deep and true respect and love for Loi's courage and her strength. I came to regret deeply all the lost years behind us. In the past year and a half, Loi and I became extremely close. Through a deep loss in my life, she shone as a bright light in mine. She made sure I always knew. She made sure that I always knew she was praying for me. She encouraged me when I was down, even when she was not feeling great herself. But then with Lois, that always came second to how I was doing. She sent numerous cards of encouragement to me and, as always, was bright and cheery on the phone. I would often stop over and we would have some of the most memorable conversations of my life. Loi became more than a sister to me. She was my greatest supporter, my encourager, my prayer warrior, and always my hug from God. There was not a time when we talked that she did not tell me how proud of me she was. She praised me for my strength, but it was her strength that I admired. She always encouraged me with her love, her prayers, and her words. Loi knew of my love for her, and of that I am eternally grateful. She knew my heart, and she never stopped loving me, even if she didn't understand the whys. She was truly beautiful, not only on the outside, but on the inside as well. I will miss Loi for the short time that we must spend apart. But I know that we will be together again in our forever homes. I will know hers immediately upon my arrival as the one with the most beautiful gardens. She goes with me always, my sister, my friend, my hero.
Mom was faced with an interesting challenge, in that she, as most of you know, was anything but a tomboy. Mom was 3 times pregnant, and 3 times thought she had a beautiful little girl named Jennifer inside, until the reality hit, and she would have 3 boisterous baby boys. So, at times, she decided to dress us up as little girls. And gave us Cabbage Patch dolls. Chris recalls Mom giving he and Rich girl dolls for Christmas, and they then proceeded to chop their hair and make them into farmers. The strollers became trucks and tractors. This we're pretty sure was hard on Mom. Chris also recalls a scheme that we boys had, not only to test, but stretch Mom's patience to the limit. While sitting on the couch in our family room, we decided that Mom probably wouldn't like it if we were to fight. So we staged a fight, screaming and carrying on, and to our devious delight, she responded, "So help me, don't make me come down there." So we continued. And recall Mom chasing us around the house and yelling and screaming. Needless to say, Mom endured a lot raising us three boys. Growing up, our interests were often quite different from Mom, as you can well imagine. We enjoyed sports, she enjoyed flowers. However, Mom did try to bridge that gap and became involved in some of our activities. Playing Uno is a family tradition, and Mom enjoyed it as much as any of us. She played catch with us when we were young, took us fishing at Preston Lake, and loved taking us on walks around the subdivision to appreciate the beautiful and friendly community, and to find out the latest scuttlebutt in the neighborhood. Mom had a sweet tooth and passed this on to each of us. Her oatmeal chocolate chip cookies are legendary. At school, we sold them to our friends. And at home, we would consume as many as 12 at a time, each. With Mom's permission, we have decided to share this recipe with all of you. You will find an insert in your bulletin. Mom was definitely a morning person. This past Sunday, I woke up dreaming of Mom singing, reminding me of how we were often wakened as children. She would rise with the sun and attempt to wake the family singing, "Time to get up in the morning, or you are my sunshine," followed by "Rye Rye, Richie, or Chrissy, rise and shine." At the time, this seemed quite annoying, but now is truly a cherished memory to us all. When Mom was very weak towards the end of her battle here on earth, I said to her, "Now God has you in his hands." She opened her eyes wide and whispered, "He always has." This, to me, was a clear reflection of her spiritual life. Mom was a strong believer with few doubts. And although I am not as strong as she was, she and Dad instilled in us the importance of our beliefs and our relationship with God. They taught us to stick to what we believe and gave us an incredible model for which we can aspire to. We are who we are today because of Mom and Dad. They taught us how to love by incredible example. They showed us that it was okay to make mistakes, and we were never judged harshly when we did. Mom recognized our gifts and always encouraged us to use them. She was very supportive in whatever ventures Dad or we undertook and major decisions we made. Chris recalls when he and Rich offered to rebuild Mom and Dad's deck. They were not carpenters, but Mom fully supported and appreciated their efforts. For years, she complimented them on her beautiful deck, and they are still proud of that today. Mom was always very proud of her daughter-in-laws. She supported Chris and I from day one with regards to our spouses, and we will always cherish that. I will always appreciate how Mom supported Rhonda and my decision to relocate to Waterloo. It was an extremely difficult time for our family, and Mom was always the first one to offer her unconditional support and encouragement. I will always recall my 30th birthday fondly, as the day Mom was finally released from her suffering on earth. In the morning, while talking to Mom, I could see that she wanted to tell me something. I leaned over and said, "Mom, I'm having a very happy birthday." Immediately, a peace came over her, and the corners of her mouth went up into a smile. This was truly a special moment. We were all very thankful to have a special goodbye with Mom. Mom, we have many wonderful memories which we'll never forget. We love you always.
All
I can recall many fond memories and qualities about our mom, so it's hard to know even where to start. I'll try and convey a few more so qualities of mom's. Mom was such a giving person, always concerned about the well-being of others, as you've heard already. Mom volunteered for many organizations and gave of her time so generously, often behind the scenes. She was also a very conscientious person, sensitive to the needs and feelings of people she was in contact with. Comfort with a capital C is what Mom was. Mom was a very organized person and always seemed to have things in order. She had a very strong connection with her past as well, quite keen on family trees and knowing where long-lost cousins were. And she had a memory that was as sharp as a tack. A few simple but important memories to me include, and I'll list these, Mom's soothing singing to us in the bathtub as kids. Mom putting up with us as we maimed each other as at times out of control youngsters. Mom would take us swimming at Preston Lake while making sure we would avoid stepping in the goose poop in order to reach the beach. Helping us with science projects. Mom had a penchant for thoughtful, exquisite gifts, even if she would forget to take the price tags off sometimes. Lolligating with her on a pedal boat ride or on walks. Lolligating was Mom's unique word for the form of relaxation we enjoyed with her. You know, Mom thought something was funny when she would be laughing so hard she would be wiping tears away from her eyes. Along with good friend and longtime neighbor Helen Hoover, they headed up the Preston Lake PI, as Helen alluded to. Not for real, but we knew we were always in good hands with them watching over the neighborhood. And they even managed to nab the serial burglar that Helen was talking about. Praying for us. We could always count on Mom praying for us, no matter when or where we were. She cared so much for us, which is the lead into this next thought. I'll never forget how distant I felt back 9 years ago when Mom called to say she had first been diagnosed with cancer. I was away that winter coaching hockey in the fly-in community of Pewanik up by Hudson's Bay. I felt a world away and felt helpless not being there for her. Yet she told me she was praying for me amidst this news. I didn't know what to say. Later that evening, feeling quite distraught, I was doing a crossword puzzle when I circled a word that didn't appear on the index of words. The word was Jesus, and I soon realized that it was there for a reason. I felt comfort and peace, reassured that we were being looked after at that time and always. One story I'd like to share yet about Mom's ability to take an awkward situation and turn it into something light and easier to deal with. During a strange sequence in our community at Preston Lake, the municipality had changed around street numbers so that our address had now become 27 Cannot from 24 Cannot, without us actually having moved. Anyhow, sometime after this change, while digging for phone lines, Bell had gone ahead and dug a good-sized hole on our front lawn on what they thought was 24 Cannot. Only 24 Cannot was now occupied by the Salami family three doors down. Talk about confusion. Mom, although frustrated at the sight of a gaping hole in our front lawn, proceeded to construct a sign out of cardboard and set it by the hole. It signified with an arrow pointing down the road to the Salamides property for the workers to see the next day. And on it, it said, "Salami's that away. This is no baloney." Talk about a neat way to handle a situation where some may have chose to get mad in a hurry. We feel truly blessed to have had such a caring and loving mother and role model. You will be missed, Mom. Your memory will carry on in all we do. We look forward to the promise of seeing you again someday soon.
On behalf of Dad, I am very honored to share a letter that he wrote to Mom on her 59th birthday. We have been through a lot together. I have always been in love with you ever since you were that young lady in grade 9. I'm sure that many times I have disappointed and discouraged you, but you have always hung in there, and I thank you for that. You have sacrificed and endured much in our married years. Many hockey, ball, and golf games. Games in the basement and on TV. We went on many trips, and you even lived through some camping on our honeymoon. You took 15 years off work to give birth and raise our children, even though you loved your work and really had to sacrifice to stay home. Spring and fall, you never complained about the long hours I was involved in seeding and harvest on the farm. You accepted the stinky boots and clothes when I would come home from chores in the barn when we still had livestock. I know you always wanted a little girl, and I am sorry that that didn't work out. However, you now have your granddaughter, Abby, and your sons and grandsons are a great tribute to you. You have such a strong faith, never doubting God's existence and his power in people's lives. Esther, my sister, recently had a very serious car accident and today lies in bed on her back and unable to attend. During her accident, she became unconscious and had a vision of her spirit passing from her body up through the clouds. Shortly after, there was a small opening in the clouds and her spirit was able to just squeeze back down through and return to her body. Esther afterwards had a talk with Lois, and Lois shared with her that prior to the accident, she had felt a great urge to pray for Esther and Ken for 3 days prior to give them protection. Esther now feels that Lois's prayer brought her spirit back and helped save her life. Loey, I know you worried about my health. Take comfort, my love. I will be okay. God will not give us more than we can handle. You reassured me that you would still be watching over me from above, and I asked you how I would know you were there. And you answered that I would see you when the birds came and the flowers came out in the spring. You have been and are such an ongoing inspiration to me, our family, and everyone you have contacted. You were someone who made us feel good about living, who brought out the best in us, someone who was joyful and giving. You gave us a chance to be strong, to show trust in each other, and to help each other along. You showed true love. Thank you, Odie, for all the great moments and memories. You will always be in my heart. I love you, Howie.
This is hard, but this is important. We're going to sing, "You Are My Sunshine." Printed, the numbers are printed in your bulletin, number 793. We're going to sing just the first three verses.
Lord.
I'm deeply grateful to Howie and to your family for the privilege of being able to share a few reflections around Psalm 91 and how it connected with Lois's life. In planning this service, there is some debate as to the place of the meditation, whether it should come before the tributes or after. And I'm glad that it was decided that it would come after the tributes, because, in my opinion, we've already heard the sermon. Because Lois's life was a sermon. In a poem entitled Sermons We See, Edgar Guest wrote, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men and women who live their creeds." Lois lived her creed, and because of that, she was the finest of preachers. And the part of her creed that spoke the loudest to me was her hope that was based in her simple trust in God. She would exuberantly join with the psalmist in saying, "He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him." But more specifically, Lois expressed her faith in terms of her relationship with her Lord Jesus Christ, and so her life was a testimony to the reality of Jesus Christ. And a powerful aspect of this testimony was her unfailing hope in the face of the worst odds. And I'll say more about that later, but first, I want to say a few things about hope. I came to a much deeper understanding of hope while observing the absence of hope, while living in a community that was characterized by the absence of hope. I observed its counterpart. I observed despair. People who live in despair have no hope of a brighter tomorrow. People who live in despair have only one concern, and that is how to avoid the pain of today's existence. There's no planning, no anticipation for tomorrow, no thought for tomorrow. Despair is a place of utter loneliness and blackness, and morality sinks to its lowest level in the face of despair. In the New Testament scriptures, in the Ephesian letter, people without hope are described as people living apart from God. They are excluded from God's people and do not know the promises that are part of God's plan for them. And then using the second person, it says, "You lived in this world without God and without hope." Just the opposite is true of people who have hope. They are people who have been brought near to God and become heirs of God's promises through Christ. But now, it says, you belong to Christ. Though you were once far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. People of hope see a brighter tomorrow. They live in the shadow, if you will, of God's promises. They can live fruitfully and comfortably in the present because they know that their work contributes to a tomorrow that is in God's powerful and redemptive hands. They plan with confidence, they live in communion with other people of hope, and they exhibit the highest levels of morality because they believe in the divine fruitfulness of each present moment. Listen to how the Apostle Peter describes people who live in hope. He says, "Your faith in God's promises," which is another way of describing hope, "will produce a life of moral excellence." A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. As we've heard, these are qualities that describe Lois. Hope is a powerful thing. The most eloquent words cannot do justice to hope, but John Macduff made a good attempt, and I quote him saying, "Hope. Who is insensible to the music of that word? What bosom has not kindled under its utterance? Poetry has sung of it, music has warbled it, oratory has lavished on its bewitching strains. Fled from the world, hope, with her elastic dreams, said that when all other divinities fled from the world, hope, with her elastic step and radiant countenance and lustrous attire, lingered behind. Hope, may we well personify thee, lighting up thy altar fires in this dark world and dropping a live coal in many desolate hearts, gladdening the sick chamber with visions of returning health. Gladdening the sick chamber with visions of returning health and dropping a live coal in many desolate hearts." That was Lois's sermon. As people have already testified, those who came to minister Lois, and I was minister to Lois, and I was one of them, left being ministered to. And we were ministered to because we were in the presence of hope being lived out by a child of God, resting in God's promises. Now, a cynic could say that she was betrayed by hope. And there is a huge disconnect between the promises found in Psalm 91 and her final experience on a physical level, as was read in Psalm 91. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your dwelling. Well, a plague did come near her dwelling. Cancer did conquer her body, and that is why we're here today. But as people who hope in Christ, the one who transforms suffering, we move beyond the simplistic theology found in this psalm. Lois had a deep faith in the Scriptures promising healing, but overriding a trust in these promises was a deeper wish that God's will would be done, even if it seemed to contradict the strong scriptural witness of God's healing power being made available to God's children of faith. As people of hope, we are not exempt from suffering or physical death. Our hope is not based on a God who resolves all our immediate suffering. Our hope is based on God's will and purposes for this world, not ours. It's about God, it's not about us. And Lois's life was a testimony to that. She left rejoicing because her hope was placed in the promise of her Lord, who said, "Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would tell you plainly." Rest, my sister of hope, rest.
Heaven, what a wonderful place. Heaven, I want to see His face. Oh, I long to be there on that day. Heaven, my home forever. Heaven, we'll be together. Soon I'm going there to stay. In younger days, I often heard about heaven, and I wondered if that was reality. They told me that this place would be so wonderful, and that heaven would be for you and me.
Heaven, what a wonderful place. Heaven, I want to see His face. Oh, I long to be there on that day. Heaven, I long forever. Heaven, we'll be together. Soon I'm going there to stay.
One day those pearly gates for me will open. The cross forever I'll lay down. I'll look into His eyes and say, I love You, Lord. Then He'll take my hand and say, welcome home.
Heaven.
Let us pray together. Sovereign God, we thank You for all that You've done for us through Jesus Christ. By giving Jesus to live and die for us, You unveiled Your gracious plan for the world and showed us how awesome Your love is. In raising Christ from the dead, You promised that those who trust in Him will share in His resurrection life. For the assurance and the hope of our faith, and for the believers who have received, You have received into Your eternal party in heaven, we are truly thankful. We give You praise and thanks for the life of Lois Mary Burkholder, now gone from among us. For all Your goodness to her through many seasons, for all that she was to those who loved her, and for everything in her life that reflected her goodness. Thank You that her sins are forgiven, that suffering and bitterness are past, and that she is safe in Your presence. Help us to release her to You. Surround us and all who mourn today with Your unending compassion. Help us to live that we might not be ashamed when we meet You on that last day. Bring us in the company of all the redeemed to Your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Into Your eternal hands, God, we commend Your servant Lois. Receive her into the arms of Your mercy, into the company of Your saints, into everlasting peace. Amen.
take your bulletin insert now and stand with me to sing Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Howard and the Burkholder family, I would like to thank you for being with us today. Due to the sheer size and volume of people that we do have here today, Howard has requested a private family interment at Weidman Cemetery. So momentarily, we will be recessing from the sanctuary, at which time you may wish to follow the family out. For those of you that will be coming to the cemetery, that would be Lois's brothers and sisters and their immediate family, and of course any of Howard's relatives that would like to come in, his family as well. If you'd like to go directly to your car so we could have an efficient procession over to the cemetery. For those of you that will not be coming, I would ask that you please process downstairs. There's time for refreshment and fellowship in the lower hall. There's two ways to get downstairs. For those of you on this half, if you exit through these doors and follow the hallway down to the right, you'll find the staircase. For those of you on this half, if you'd like to just use the staircase at the front of the church. Thank you.
We'd ask you to stand, please.